Okay, so we are learning Perek Yud Gimel of Sefer Shmuel Beis. I know we took a few weeks off because of Pesach, so let's just review the basic story so we all can be caught up to date as to what's happening, and then we can continue in Perek Yud Gimel. So at the very beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, we learned that one of David's sons, by the name of Amnon, had a half sister, Tamar. She was Avshalom's sister, and Amnon really fell in love with Tamar. He wanted her, and Amnon did not think that there was any way for him to actually be with Tamar. This friend, cousin of his, he was the son of Shimma, who was a brother of David, so he was a cousin and also a friend. The pasuk says he was a Reya as well, so he was a friend and a cousin. So he suggested a way that Amnon essentially get to Tamar, and Yonadav basically said, you should make like you're sick. Your father David's going to come and see how you're doing, and you're going to tell him that I need Tamar to come and prepare food for me. That's the only way I'm going to be able to feel better and to be back to myself. That's what happened. He feigned this illness, and David comes to see him. Amnon says to David, I need Tamar to come and to cook for me and to prepare. I'm sorry. Tamar refuses to be with him, and at that time, he doesn't take no for an answer. And essentially, he forces himself upon her. He rapes her, and at that time, right after he does it, he despises her, because again, it's we discussed last time a little bit of the psychology behind it. That she was the cause of what he did. She becomes the victim all of a sudden. He becomes the victim. The twisted psychology here, and he throws her out, and she says that it's going to be a terrible thing. He calls his nar and he says, "Get her out of here. Close the door. Lock the door." And she goes out. She's not wearing her. Her normal royal clothing, because Amnon had taken it off, and she takes ashes and she puts it on her head and she rips her clothing, and she goes screaming. Avshalom, her brother, sees her in the, and he says, listen, you got to be quiet. You don't want everybody to hear about this, but he understands what happened. David hears what happened. David gets very upset. Avshalom, and this is the last pasuk that we read last time, pasuk Chav Beis, and with this we'll conclude the review, and I'll just share two interesting things that I saw in this pasuk just today while preparing the shir. So pasuk Chav Beis, Velo diver Avshalom im Amnon the Meiraviyata. Avshalom does not speak with Amnon at all about this. He doesn't say anything to him. He doesn't say boo to him. Ki sone Avshalom es Amnon al devar asher ina es Tamar achoso. Because Avshalom hates Amnon for what he did to his sister. Now, the way that the Mitzudas David and the Malbim explain this is that Avshalom immediately planned for revenge. His sister was raped. His sister was abused. He would not take that sitting down. So he immediately planned for revenge that he was going to kill Amnon. He had to wait for the right circumstance and the right moment to do it. So this pasuk is saying that he didn't say anything because he didn't want Amnon to have his guard up. He didn't want Amnon to know that he had a target on his back. So he made like nothing happened. He was quiet, still, he was quiet, made like nothing happened. And in his head, he was planning that as soon as the right opportunity arrives, I'm going to kill Amnon when he least expects it, and that'll be my revenge for what this terrible thing that he did to my sister. Okay, that's the pashup shot in that pasuk, and that's where we left off a couple of weeks ago before Pesach. Two fascinating things that I saw. I was looking at Rav Lopiansky's Sefer on Navi, and he brings two fascinating mefarshim, not here in the Navi, but in other places, because that's what his Sefer is all about, collecting mefarshim from other places that discuss the psukim in the Navi. And he brings two interesting comments of Rishonim about this silence. One comment that Avshalom was doing something wrong by keeping quiet here, and one comment that Avshalom was doing something good by keeping quiet here. Fascinating. So let's do one of the first is the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, Halacha Vav. He says that when you get into a disagreement with your friend or someone does something wrong to you, they sin, they do something, they do something to insult you, to offend you. Says the Rambam, Lo yistemenu v'yishtok, don't keep it bottled up inside. Don't be quiet. Kimo shenemar b'rasha'im. Listen to this. As the Rambam says, as it says regarding the wicked, and he quotes our pasuk, pasuk chafes, velo diber Avshalom es Amnon me'uma le'merav yatov kisani Avshalom es Amnon. Avshalom didn't say a word to Amnon. That was wrong, says the Rambam. They were both rasha'im, Avshalom and Amnon. And that's why Avshalom kept it bottled up inside. That was the wrong thing to do. That was the wrong approach. Ela mitzvah alav lehodio. Rather, you should notify the person that he did something wrong. Velo marlo lama asisa likach vekach. Why did you do such and such to me? It doesn't say you should punch him. It doesn't say you should even scream at him. But it just says confront the person and say, listen, you did something. It offended me. It hurt me. It insulted me. Whatever the case is. Why did you do that? That's the pasuk we have in the Torah, that you're supposed to rebuke your fellow. So fascinating. The Rambam says, based on this pasuk, that this was the wrong approach, that which Avshalom did. This wasn't the right thing to do. He should have manned up and confronted Amnon and said, what in the world did you just do to my sister? He didn't do that. He kept it bottled up inside, and that was something bad. Now again, according to the Mefarshim that we saw in the Pasuk, Mitzudas David and the Malbim, this was a strategic silence. The Rambam kind of assumes this was an emotional silence. You know, that he was, that Avshalom was upset and he kept it bottled up inside. You know, and that was something that was wrong. If emotionally you're hurt by someone, you should confront them and you should talk it out with them. Good question. Shouldn't you wait until your anger subsides? So, yes, in general you should, but it doesn't seem that was what Avshalom was doing. I think that's what, meaning, had we learned in the Psukim that Avshalom just, you know, kept quiet for a couple of days or whatever, or a couple of weeks or whatever, you know, a certain period of time, and then confronted him, okay, that's a different story. Right? But we don't find that. We find he kept it bottled up, and we're going to see he essentially has him killed. So, yes, yeah. Well, the pasuk says David was upset about it, but it doesn't say that he did anything about it. Yeah, that was pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I think you asked last time, or somebody asked last time, why didn't David react? Right? If this was done, you know, by... It says he was angry. Yeah, okay. But why, how come he didn't do anything about it? Right? He could have, right? I'm just looking now. I just happen to have this art scroll Navi here. I just looked up that pasuk. So in the commentary on the bottom, I don't see any of them. I don't think any of the Mefarshim addressed that. Why didn't David react? I don't believe. But in the commentary on the bottom, it says that he could not have punished him by a court because there were no witnesses.
But as a father, you know.
Right. Now it says, he quotes the Abarbanel, undoubtedly David rebuked him severely, although the pasuk does not say so explicitly. Right, so the Abarbanel assumes that if David was furious, he must have confronted Amnon and rebuked him, but he couldn't punish him by putting him to death or anything like that, or you know, any kind of punishment, because there was no Edim. He didn't have Edim and Asra. And in order to punish someone, this wasn't a situation of Morid B'malchus. You know, a king is allowed to kill someone if he's Morid B'malchus. You know, there you may not need Edim and Hasra and things like that. But here you do. So he couldn't punish him. One second. So the Malbim, he quotes the Malbim, says that David did not say anything to Amnon, which made Avshalom more angry, which I think we mentioned last time, if I'm not mistaken. And then finally, he quotes here the Das Sofrim, who suggests that David did not punish Amnon publicly because he did not want the event to become public knowledge and create a scandal that would harm the entire family. I mean, right now it was contained. The damage was done. She was hurt and it was contained, but at least else was experiencing the fallout from this. But if he made it into a public thing, then there would be fallout and other people would be hurt and damaged and things like that. Okay, you know, these are some of the different opinions that he quotes here, that they quote. Yeah.
After Avshalom to take the law into his own hands.
Good question. And essentially, he's doing the right thing. You know, and certainly according to the Rambam refers to him here as a Rasha. You know, so the Rambam clearly thinks he's not doing the right thing and he's not... You know, so yeah, it's a good point, and you can't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, if you learn that David didn't punish because he didn't have the ability to do so because there were no witnesses or warning and things like that, then Avshalom was certainly doing something wrong.
Right.
Yeah, similar. So that, but that's a whole question, right? When Shimon and Levi killed all the, you know, all the men of the city, there's a question. The Mefarshim struggle with that. You know, why were they able to do that? Why were they allowed to do that? And there's different justifications given for why they were allowed to. That maybe the people knew what, you know, what Shechem did, and they didn't do anything about it, so they were also responsible. You know, it's a good question. It's a good question. You know, they were also not Jewish, which is, I'm not, you know, obviously you can't just do what you want, but you know the rules are a little bit different for Einam Yehudim than for Yehudim.
Well, Safari quotes the Septuagint.
Yeah.
But he did not rebuke his son Amnon. He favored him since he was his firstborn.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
But then David is the one who sent Amnon there. David is the one who sent Amnon there.
Sent Amnon where? Tamar? Sent Tamar to Amnon.
Sent Tamar to Amnon.
Well, he didn't realize this was going to happen. He would never have done that. Maybe he felt guilty, right? Maybe he felt partially responsible for it. Maybe that's why he didn't. Could be. Could be. Maybe he faulted himself, so he didn't want to censure Amnon because he felt like, well, this is partially my fault. I hear that. Okay, the other comment that I saw fascinating is Rabbeinu Bachya. This is Rabbeinu Bachya in Bereishis Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Dalid, and it's speaking about Yosef and his brothers, or the brothers towards Yosef. And the Pasuk says, "V'lo yachlu dabro l'shalom," that the brothers were not able to speak peacefully with Yosef because they hated him so much. So Rabbeinu Bachya says that this is a midah tova. This is a good attribute, a good quality, a good trait, that if you hate someone, you show it and you don't, you know, try to hide it and flatter the person. That's the wrong thing. So in a sense, there was something positive in the brothers' interaction with Yosef because they felt the hatred in their hearts, and that's how they were acting with him. So they were true to themselves. That's a midah tova. That's something positive. And he says, so too, the pasuk praises Avshalom. He says the pasuk is mishabeach Avshalom, as it says right here in this pasuk. Velo diber Avshalom im Amnon lemeirav yatov ki sonei Avshalom Amnon. So he understands that this was similar to the way the brothers were treating Yosef. So Avshalom is essentially ignoring Amnon here, right? And that ignoring was a function of hatred. And therefore, that's something positive. Because if you hate someone inside, don't be nice to them. Don't be regular to them, right? You know, show your hatred. You can ignore them. You can, you know, you got to be true to yourself. Now, again, that doesn't mean that you should be mean to people, you know, just because someone did something, you have to shout or take revenge, chas v'shalom, or anything like that. But it's just in terms of your attitude, if you're feeling a certain way inside, it's not the right thing to try to then fake it and portray niceties and things like that. Now, again, you have to take this in context, you know, with a grain of salt. Obviously, it's good to be good to people and way is something good, something positive. But you don't always have to, you know, be like this. But it's just interesting that the Rabbeinu Bachya understands the pasuk is being mishabeach le'avshalom, right? Whereas the Rambam clearly does not understand it that way, and he's assuming that it's something bad, and it's he calls him a rasha over this. Okay, all right. Let's start the new pasukim yet now. Let's see if we can get to the end of the parak tonight. So pasuk chav gimel. Vayhilish nasayim yamim, 2 years elapse since this incident. Vayihiyu gozizim l'avshalom beval chatzur, and it was time to shear Avshalom's sheep, and it was done in this location called Val Chatzur, Asher im Ephraim, which was right near the land of Ephraim. Vayikra Avshalom l'chol b'nei hamelech, and Avshalom invites all of his brothers, all of the sons of the king, to a party, essentially, and the Mefarshim explained that this was a happy time, right? The time that you're shearing your sheep, that's when you're going to make your money, right? You're going to sell the wool, you're going to make some money. So it was a happy time. The time of shearing was a happy time. They used to make a suda, like a little bit of a yontif, and he and all of his brothers to partake in this suda. The Radak mentions, if you think back to the story of Navigail, so also the pasuk there was talking about Navigail was shearing his sheep and made a party. So similar idea. Pasuk Chav Dalet, Vayavo Avshalom el Amelech, Vayomer Hineno Gozizim LaAvdecha, Yelech Na Amelech VaAvadov Im Avdecha. So Avshalom not only did he invite his brothers, but he wanted to invite his father, the king. So he approaches the king, he approaches David, and he says, "We are making a shearing party." Right? This is like an upsharing, right? We're making a shearing party, and I'd like to invite you. You with all of your avadim. He understood that when the melech comes, the melech doesn't come alone. The melech comes with an entourage. So he invited him and all of his avadim to come to this party and to celebrate the shearing of the sheep. Pasuk Chafei, Vayomer Hamelech Alav Shalom, Albani. He says, "No, my son, Al Nonelech Kulanu Velo Nichbar Alecha." He says, "No, we're not all going to come. If I come with all of my avadim, it's going to be too much for you." The Farshim say, "It's going to be too expensive for you. You have to buy food for all of us. You know, I come with a big entourage. I come with a lot of people. Nah, don't worry about it. Thank you very much for the invitation, but I'm going to pass." So Avshalom pressures David to come. "No, you know, no, Abba, please come. Please come." Velo ava laleches vayivarchehu. But in the end, David says, he refuses. He says, "No, I'm not coming." And he gives him a bracha. He thanks him for the generous invitation. He gives him a bracha, but he doesn't come. Now, the Malbim, interestingly, doesn't explain this, but he says that at first, David blamed it on the numbers. Right? David said, "You know, I'm coming with a big entourage. It's going to cost you a lot of money. You know, I'd rather not cost you that, you know, make you incur that kind of cost." And once Avshalom pressured him and said, "No, don't worry about it. I'm happy to spend it, whatever. You know, I have the whatever. He said to try to convince David. David, in the end, basically just said, I don't want to come. So in the beginning, he blamed it on the money, on the number of guests that were going to have to come. But in the end, he just didn't want to come. Now, he doesn't explain why David didn't want to come, but David just essentially didn't want to come. Pasuk Chavav. Vayomer Avshalom. Now again, the psukim don't really explain this. Don't state this explicitly. But it seems that Avshalom's, you know, in his head is now the gears are turning, and he's beginning to think of this might be a good opportunity for me to exact my revenge on Amnon. Vayomer Avshalom. Velo yelech no itanu Amnon achi. Can Amnon not join us? Amnon, my brother. Vayomer lo Amelech. Lama yelech imach. Why should he come with you? Why should he join? Why should he come? Now, the way Rashi says it, he's saying, if you can't join us, at least send Amnon. Now, what's special about Amnon? It says the Malbim, Amnon was the Bechor. The Bechor can take the place of the king. So the king can't come. Okay, right, David, you don't want to come? Fine. Abba, you don't want to come? I understand. But at least send Amnon. Send the Bechor, like in your place. And that way, that'll give us the honor of hosting the Bechor, of hosting the second in command, so to speak. It's like, the president can't come, he sends the vice president, right? So that's what Amnon was, the Bechor. So that was like the vice president. So that's why he was asked to come here. Vayifrotz, and again, Chav Zayin, Vayifrotz bo Avshalom, Vayishlach ito es Amnon, Ve'ez kol b'nei Amelech. And again, even though David said at first, Lama yelech imach, he pressures him, he tries to convince him, he persuades him, and finally allows Amnon to go with all the other sons. So essentially, it's all of the B'nai HaMelech are going to this party of Avshalom, except for David himself. Now, why was David so hesitant to go? Again, I don't know, and I didn't see in the Mepharshim that I saw why he was hesitant, but I would suggest that it could be he just had a bad feeling. You know, he may have had a bad feeling about Avshalom, and he just, felt that, maybe he felt something was going to happen, or he just didn't want to be associated, didn't want to be there. You know, it seems like he had some sort of intuition, and even the hesitancy to send Amnon, he was hesitant at first. Avshalom convinced him, it's a nice party, everybody's coming, send him, and David did it, but at first he has this hesitancy, which indicates that there's something deep down that's bothering David. About what's happening here. That who had? Well, again, according to some of the Mepharshim, like the Malbim, the resentment was already because David did not take any action after Amnon did this. This may have contributed as well. He didn't, that he refused to come to the party. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now here's where the action starts. Pasuk Chav Ches. Vayitzav Avshalom es Ne'orov Lemor. So Avshalom commands his young men, his servants. Re'una kitov leiv Amnon bayayin. At every good party, there's wine. See to it that once Amnon is nice and drunk with wine, his guard is down, he's relaxed. V'amarti aleichem. As soon as I give you the signal, haku es Amnon. Also, kill Amnon. He instructs his servants, "Al tirou, and don't be afraid. Halo ki anochi nisi eschem. I'm the one who's commanding you." And as the Mepharshim explained in Mitzvah 7 and the Malbim, you will not be held responsible because it's my tzivoy, it's my command. So if someone's going to come after you, you tell them I was following my master's orders, and I'll take the heat. I'll take the blame for it. I'm okay with that. But that's what Avshalom tells his men. Chizku v'hiyu livnei chayim. Right? Strengthen yourselves, be strong, and do as I command. Pasuk Chavtes. Vayasu nare Avshalom la'amnon kasher tziva Avshalom. So they fulfill Avshalom's request. Amnon gets drunk. They kill Amnon. Vayakumu kol b'nei ha'melech vayirkevu Ish al pirdo vayanus, and the other sons see what just happens, and they run. They run for the hills. They're probably worried if these servants, these thugs, just killed him, maybe we're next, right? They don't know what's happening. They just see Amnon is just killed. So they take off, they run, they jump on their horses, and they get out of there. Pasuk Lamed, Vayihi Hema Baderech, Vashmua Ba'a El David Lemur, Hika Avshalom Es Kol B'nei HaMelech, V'lo Nosar Mehem Echad. So you know how information travels. So the sons are now running back to Yerushalayim, back to the palace, and somebody witnessed what happened and sent a message to David gets a message which says, all of your sons were killed. Not one is remaining. That's what David gets. Now, obviously, that's wrong, right? That's a false rumor. The message he first got after this happened, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, obviously, he's very distraught about this. So David gets up, he tears Kriya, all of his sons were just killed. And he lies down on the ground in grief. And all of his servants also tear Kriya. They remain standing, presumably because, you know, you're a servant of the king. You have to remain standing. You can't, you know, lie down in your grief. But they also tear their clothing out of respect for David. All of his sons were just killed. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayan Yonadav ben Shima Achi David. Yonadav, who's David's nephew, who was the one who gave that suggestion to Amnon to begin with. I didn't remember, we saw Machlokas and the Mefarshim there, if Yonadav meant something good or something bad by his suggestion, right? We had the Machlokas, one of the Mefarshim said, Yonadav meant that Amnon should do what he did. And the other Mefarshim said, no, Yonadav didn't mean that. And that's just how Amnon took it. Okay, so that's, depending on how you learn, we'll tell you how good of a guy this Yonadav really is or not. But Yonadav here pipes up and he says, No. Don't think that everybody died. That's not what happened. Ki Amnon levado meis. Only Amnon died. Ki al pi Avshalom haisa suma miyom anoso es tamar achoso. And he says, I'll prove to you that Amnon is the only one who died because this happened at Avshalom's party. And Avshalom has been talking about this for quite some time. Now, there's a shaila in the Mefarshim here. Doesn't mean he was talking about it. The Radak seems to say that he was talking about it. The Targum, he quotes the Targum Yonason, who just says that Avshalom wasn't necessarily talking about this plan, but he was thinking about it all of these years. So that's a question. Was he talking about it? Was he thinking about it? But essentially, either way, this was something, says Yonadav, that was planned a long time ago. As soon as Amnon raped Tamar, right away, this is what Avshalom had in mind, and this was just the opportunity that he took to take that revenge. Don't be afraid that all of your other sons died. They didn't do anything wrong, so they didn't die. It was only Amnon, and Avshalom killed them because of what he did to Tamar. Now, 1 second, and then I'll take your question. So the Malbim says that at first, when people first witnessed the fact that Amnon was killed, they thought, why did Avshalom kill Amnon? They didn't put two and two together and think back 2 years to the incident that happened and think, oh, this is Avshalom exacting revenge. They thought of Avshalom and forgot about that. So they thought that Avshalom was killing Amnon because Amnon was the Bechor, so he's going to get the Yerusha of David. So maybe this is just jealous brotherhood. Avshalom wants the Yerusha. So that's why he's killing Amnon. Now, you're killing Amnon because you want the Yerusha. So that probably means that he's going to kill all of the other sons. So this way he'll be the only Yoresh. If the motive is Yerusha, so then you kill all the Yarshim and you're the only one left standing. So that's why the rumor first started, says the Malbim, that all of the sons had been killed. However, once it was clarified that was not the motive, the motive behind this murder was not the Yerusha. The motive behind the murder was revenge. So now it makes sense. Only Amnon was killed and nobody else. So that's why he clarified that rumor. Yeah. Good question. So we don't know, again, just let's say Avshalom once remarked to him to do something like this, or Avshalom remarked to someone else, and people knew that this was what Avshalom had in mind. That doesn't mean you can stop it because you don't know when Avshalom is going to do it. So even if you know that's his plan, Avshalom didn't tell him exactly when it was going to happen. He just may have said that, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago, he said, you know, as soon as I get the opportunity, I'm going to kill that guy. Period. So, you know, Yonadav may have known he was going to do it, but he didn't know when or how, or, you know, in order to stop it. You need a real-time intelligence to be able to intercept that kind of plan. That he didn't have.
Question.
Yeah.
Why did Avshalom wait 2 years to execute the plan?
Good question. I don't know the answer to that question. My assumption is that he was waiting for the right opportunity. And maybe the right opportunity did not present itself in those 2 years. And now all of a sudden it did. Because he has a scenario where David is not going to be present and Amnon is. And that's the kind of opportunity that he wanted to kill Amnon. He has to do it at a time when they're away from the palace. He's not going to kill him in the palace. Also, Avshalom, we'll see in a minute, Avshalom wants to escape. He doesn't want to be killed over this. So he needs a time when he... Don't believe that which you've heard. Don't believe that they died. Ki im Amnon levado meis. Now the Malbim says, why are we repeating this? We just said this in the previous pasuk. Why are we repeating now? Why is Yonadav repeating that, hey, and don't think that the son died, it was just Amnon. We just said that. So the Malbim ingeniously suggests that David may have been thinking now, well, okay, well, maybe they weren't targets, but maybe when the Ne'arim went after Amnon, maybe the other brothers stepped up in his defense, and maybe they were then killed in the ensuing fight. So even if they weren't the target, as Yonadav was trying to explain in the previous pasuk, that these other sons were not the target, right? Amnon was the only target. Okay, so maybe they weren't the target, but maybe they got killed in the crossfire. Maybe they got killed because they stepped up in Amnon's defense. So to that, Yonadav says, no, they didn't even do that. They all ran for the hills. Amnon was killed right away. They ran for the hills. Nobody else was hurt. Don't be nervous. Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Vayivrach Avshalom. So Avshalom flees. He runs because he knows now he's going to have a target on his back. Vayisa Hanar Hatzofes Einov, Vayar Vihine Amrav Holchim Miderach Acharov Mitzarahar. And the Tzofe is the seer, right? The young man who was perched on top of the walls, and he would look and see what was doing. So he sees this big group of people, Amrav. A big group of people that's coming towards Yerushalayim. The Mepharshim explained they were coming at an angle. That's why it says they were coming from behind. And the Malbim points out here very, very importantly that this whole time, while David was trying to figure out what happened to his other sons, were they hurt, were they killed or not, that gave Avshalom time to run away. Because had David right away said, well, Avshalom killed Amnon, that's it. He could have gone right away and grabbed Avshalom and killed him, right? But he didn't. Why not? Because he was too busy trying to figure out, well, what happened with everybody else? Is everybody else okay? Was everybody else killed? What happened? So because of that, that bought Avshalom some precious time, and he was able to run and to get away in that amount of time when David was distracted. Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vayomer Yonadav El HaMelech. Now Yonadav says, he gets the message from the Tzofe that this Amrav is coming. Yonadav says, see, I told you, I'm right. This Amrav that's coming, that the Tzofe just spotted, these are your sons coming back. So I told you, what I told you is correct. Amnon was the only one who died. Everyone else is still alive. Pasuk Lamed Vav, Vayihike chaloso ledaber. As soon as he finished his sentence, the sons of the king arrive, they enter, and they cry out, and they start crying and wailing over the fact that Amnon was killed. And everybody was crying. I'm sure David was slightly relieved that his other sons were safe, not killed, but lost their other brother. David lost his son Amnon, his Bechor. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Avshalom bara vayelech el Tamai ben Amihud melech Geshur. Avshalom ran and he ran to Talmai, the son of Amihu, the king of Geshur. And the Mefarshim point out here that this was his maternal grandfather, right? That his mother was Talmai's daughter. Isabel Albino Kol Hayomim. And he mourned, for his son, meaning David. David mourned for his son for the rest of his life, essentially. Some say that the Ma'am Mitzvah, David says it means for the rest of his life. The Radak says it doesn't mean the rest of his life. It just means for the next period of time that we're going to discuss, which we'll see is 3 years. David is mourning for Amnon, yeah. I don't know. Right.
It's like losing two sons at the same time.
Right. I hear that. I do hear that. Let me just look quickly. Isabel Aldeno. Yeah, so the Radak says clearly that David was mourning unknown. This is Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Yeah, Mitzudas David says the same. That's all. That's all I can see here. Yeah. That's all I see here. That's what it seems. I don't know. Maybe there's someone else who explains otherwise. But that's what it seems here. Pasuk Lamed Ches. Avshalom barach vayelech Geshur vayisham shalosh shanim. So again, the pasuk says that Avshalom ran away and went to Geshur and was there for 3 years. So why does it say that again? So the stuff it said here, the point just is that he stayed 3 years. That's the point of this pasuk. But the Malbim's bothered. Why does it repeat the Avshalom barach vayelech Geshur? We said that already, right? So again, it's very repetitive. So he says that at first Avshalom ran to Talmai and he thought he was safe, and he was hanging out with his grandfather wherever Talmai went. He went. He was hanging out with the Zayda. But then he got word that David was still mourning for Avshalom for Amnon. That after 3 years, David is still mourning, and now Avshalom gets nervous. David is still mourning for 3 years over Amnon. That's not good. That means that maybe he's still going to be upset with me and come after me. And therefore, he went to the city Geshur, which was a fortified city. And this way he would be protected just in case David or his men came to attack him.
Rabbi.
Hold on 1 second. Rabbi. Yeah. Okay. Right. Isn't there a limit to as to how long we should mourn? Okay. I mean, a good question. I would say here that we're not talking here about the halachos of Avedis, anything like that. I think we're talking about in his heart, emotionally. And that, Rahman al-Itzlan, a person loses a child, that never ends. That's essentially what the Pesukim are saying. Like, it doesn't really end. That type of nechama. Now, we'll see in a minute, there was an element of nechama here, which we'll talk about in a second. But the grief was staying with him. Now, when we say you can't be misavel too long, that means like open avelus, real avelus, halachos of avelus. But to feel grief in your heart, you feel grief. And what are you going to do? Oh, we'll talk about that. Good point. Good. Yeah, good. We'll talk about that. Excellent. Yeah, Aaron.
Rabbi, all this time, David still doesn't know that Amnon raped Tamar?
No, he does. David knows right away.
So, isn't he upset?
Whatever it was, Chaf Aleph, we see clearly that David knew.
Absalom for killing Amnon. After Amnon raped.
Just because Amnon did something wrong doesn't mean that Avshalom did the right thing by taking the law into his own hands. It seems that he's still being held responsible. You can't just do what you want. You can't take the law into your own hands. So Amnon did something wrong, true, but you don't just go and kill him. Okay. Last pasuk lamites. Atachal David Amelech latzeis el Avshalom. But David did not go out to attack Avshalom, despite the fact that he was still mourning his son. He did not go out to attack Avshalom. And kinicham al Amnon kimeis. And the reason is because he had a little bit of nechama over Amnon because he died. And this is exactly what you were just saying, that this is Rashi's comment on that pasuk when the pasuk says vayimah'ein lehisnachem, that Yaakov could not be comforted after the loss of Yosef. Vayimah'ein lehisnachem. So Rashi says, why could he not be comforted? Because Yosef was still alive. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu only made a gzera that the mace should be nishtakach min alev, that we should forget the pain of death when somebody actually dies. But if the person did not actually die, there's no such gzera, there's no such takana, and therefore we don't get over that. And that's why Yaakov didn't get over it. Here, Amnon did die. So because Amnon died, kinicham, there was an element of comfort. He was still sad, of course, but there was an element of comfort. He was able to move on because Amnon was dead, and therefore he didn't go and punish Avshalom and attack Avshalom. Now, the Malbim. Okay, good. What about the Chalmim? Good. So the Malbim says that Vatachal is from a language of like kala, of imprisoning. The David was held back. The David really wanted to go and kill Avshalom over this, but he was held back by who? So the Malbim says either his wife Ma'acha, right? Maybe that's who held him back, or Tamar herself may have held him back and said, listen, there's been enough bloodshed over this. Let's stop it here. And let's not have more bloodshed. So either his wife or his daughter, it sounds like, according to the Malbim, was holding him back. David really wanted to go and kill him over this, but they held him back. And the reason why is because they saw that there was some measure of comfort. So once they saw there was some measure of comfort, they said, listen, David, you know, you can handle this. You can move on. It's not like you can't move on with your life until you kill Avshalom. You're already beginning to move on. So let's stop the bloodshed and let's, you know, hold it here, so to speak. And that's why he was and that's why he didn't go out to kill Avshalom. So that's how the Malbim understands. So Mirtz Hashem, we'll stop here for tonight, and Mirtz Hashem will pick up next week with Perek Yudal. Thank you for joining.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay, be well, Aaron.